Drive with Julian Clover.
Getting you home.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Newly published data commissioned by business group Cambridge Ahead reveals year-on-year growth of Cambridge-based companies remains strong. The data from Cambridge University's Centre for Business Research across 24,000 Cambridge-based companies saw global turnover growth of 14.4% and global employment growth of 9.2%. Matthew Bullock is Vice Chairman of Cambridge Ahead and Master of St Edmunds College. I'm pleased to say he's on the line now. Good afternoon, Matthew.
Good afternoon, Julian.
In the months after the Brexit vote, there was a little bit of concern, I guess, as to what it might do to the Cambridge economy. Looking at these figures, can we forget all about that, or is the challenge yet to come?
I think we can't be certain yet. I think the challenge, whether it'll be a challenge to come or whether this will be different, I don't know. I mean, they were a surprise to us that this thing actually accelerated. It wasn't even that it stayed at the same level. It actually picked up in the period after Brexit. And that was kind of not what we'd expected. Mm. Maybe to do with the fact the pound devalued, and therefore, you know, they're very export-oriented companies, and so that may have suddenly made them move forward. But a lot of it's domestic growth. A lot of it was actually in things like property and construction, utilities, car sales,
yeah,
which are, you know, not export oriented. They're basically domestic. Mm. So it was quite a surprise. Yeah,
I guess because we know that Cambridge is growing anyway and has been so for several years, it's almost the question as well: would there have been more growth if there wasn't Brexit on the horizon?
I don't know. I think what we may have been seeing here was the effects of the rapid growth by technology companies, which had been for some years before this, rippling into other areas. And mm-hmm. when one looked around the cranes, for example, don't forget this data is a year old. So it's not the most recent data. But a year ago, if you'd looked around Cambridge, you'd have been very struck by the number of cranes on the horizon. It was known as Crane Bridge,
I think. Yes. I remember Lewis Herbert, the city council leader, sitting down opposite me for an interview, looking out of our window and remarking, oh yeah, you can see a crane from every place in Cambridge. And there was one poking above the Mill Road Cemetery and the Anglia Ruskin building behind us.
I think at one point there were 64 cranes in Cambridge, which I think is exceptionally high. And I think that the building commitments that were set on a lot of the building work around Adam Brooks and so forth was set some time ago, and that was clearly coming through in these numbers. But the fact that the technology companies continue to grow on without a sort of tremor is, I think, a surprise.
Yeah.
And it just sort of says this place just goes on growing. It's very resilient. Mm.
And other than cranes, there is a certain amount of clustering going on, isn't there? You mentioned technology, of course, but there very much seems to be a sense of similar businesses setting up shop next to each other. It's here on our little corner of Guider Street. Next door to us, got a business which develops for the web. And then across the way, and in a short space of time, we've got a little marketing agency has opened up. And this is this is a sort of an area which basically used to have storage for the local drama group and a bicycle repair shop. But it shows that the transformation of the city's economy.
And a brewery.
Yeah, of course.
No, I think what's very interesting, we've seen two patterns which we've not really been able to spot before. One is this question of clustering when you've got knowledge-intensive businesses. They seem clearly to like to share the same space, the same buzz, market, staff, maybe even some facilities, common facilities. That's very clear, and we can show where those are happening with maps that we have over time. What we're also seeing, and this is the first time we've kind of really been able to spot this, is that those companies which are servicing them, which may not be so research intensive, don't need to be so close, and are more cost sensitive, they're tending to move further out. So that we're starting to see businesses, for example, in Fordham on the industrial estate at Newmarket, places in Ely, places out towards Huntingdon, and out towards Camborne, which are now starting to get non-knowledge intensive service businesses. And we think what's happening is there's a difference between those people who are prepared to pay to be close to each other because it it is more expensive because of the proximity drives up the costs. And those people who say, no, I don't need to be that close, I can service this growth economy from a bit further out. And that's having the effect of spreading the economy, the economic growth outside the city, which I think is a positive message for the whole of Cambridge, actually.
At the same time, of course, it also adds another dynamic, if you like, into the transport infrastructure and ongoing debate, of course, as to, or not just the transport infrastructure that we've got, but what's being planned as to whether that ends up in the right places.
Well, I think that's one of the issues that we're very focused on. I'm an independent economic commissioner looking at the Cambridge and Peterborough economy for the mayor. And this issue about transport infrastructure is really crucial. When one looks at what's happened in Cambridge, the results of not making it easy to get low-priced housing near to the city, people are living further and further out. And we calculate it's about 65,000 people a day drive into Cambridge, which is a very big number. And, you know, we can see it very clearly in the tidal flow of traffic around the extending rush hours. And we do need to deal with this issue. We do need to make sure we have a public transport system that can carry this traffic and then enables people to access housing, which is moderately priced, and takes the heat out of the Cambridge market. So this whole mixture of housing and transport and planning policies is really why the GCP is focusing so much on getting these transport plans pulled forward, and they're key. If we don't get that, we risk actually seeing the growth burned off because the costs will get too high, and companies and people who come and work here will just say, this is not a kind of nice place to live. The quality of life will go down.
I guess that's the thing, isn't it? Because if the businesses look and see the issues you've mentioned, sooner or later they're going to say to themselves, well, no, I'd much rather, you know, base my entire focus around Ely and not touch Cambridge at all.
Well, it won't be Ely, unfortunately. I think that's the thing that we're starting to... We've done some qualitative research with companies, particularly the kind of larger knowledge-based people, and said, you know, if you were disrupted by this cost escalation going on, what would you do? And the answer is they wouldn't go to Leicester or Nottingham or Ely. They'd go to Singapore or to the east coast of America.
It's as dangerous as that. They don't just leave Cambridge, but they leave the UK generally.
Well, or they just simply grow their businesses in those other offices and they leave the Cambridge thing to kind of just where it is. And slowly over time, that would work away. Our fear is, I mean, we've tried to forecast when this might be. Our fear is that if we don't do something, certainly by 2031, which is, you know, sounds a long way away, but you're talking infrastructure, you do have to start pretty early on. If you don't start doing something mid-20s, we might start to see the thing start to not grow as fast as we anticipate. That's one of the scenarios that we could foresee.
How much is Cambridge dependent on global companies, you know, the AstraZenecas of this world and others, of course, as opposed to businesses that have just set up shop in Cambridge, perhaps coming out of the university or other areas and growing on their own, if you like?
The interesting dynamic is it's the latter which has brought in the big global companies. In other words, what's happened here is we've grown the indigenous company base so strongly, and it counts for, we reckon, about sort of 73% of corporate employment in the area is locally grown. So we have a very strong homegrown sector, and it's because it does extraordinary things in technology and in markets. That's what's bringing people like certainly AstraZeneca, but Apple, Huawei, Amazon, you know, they're all now got their offices here in Cambridge because this is a place they want to be because of the kind of vibe of developed by the local companies. It's a really an unusual economy in that sense. Most economies, if I take Peterborough, which is one of the economies we're able to sort of study in parallel, they're much more oriented towards international companies sort of driving the growth there, whereas here it's much more homegrown, but then added on with the big companies coming in, bringing research offices and other things like that here. AstraZeneca is quite extraordinary to actually bring the global headquarters of a global company right into Cambridge. It's very unusual, but certainly there are people like AstraZeneca who are looking to set up, say, European R&D headquarters or whatever here. That will roll on.
Yeah, really interesting speaking to you, Matthew. Thank you very much indeed for your time at the Zoo. That's Matthew Bullock, Vice Chairman of Cambridge Ahead, also Master of St Edmunds College, speaking about that data which has been released, commissioned by Cambridge Ahead. Right, it's 15 minutes now away from 6 o'clock.